Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy James,
and I'm Alice
Trombley Matthews Birchall.
Holy moly, and I am Alistair George William Matthews Birchall.
Oh, we did so good riffing around with those names and
We were creating a little name, Centaurs.
Yeah. Oh.
How about that? Names your centaur name. That's when you take half of your name, the top part of your name, and then you add it to the bottom part of a horse's name. My name is Alistair George William Kybe Deaver.
This is a great. Maybe it should be like a horse that was that won the Melbourne Cup the year where you
were
born.
Well, that's what I went for.
Like if it was, you know, if it was, if we want to get this going as a Twitter meme, it's got to be your centaur name is your first name. And a couple of your middle names. One or two of your middle names combined with
I was just taking whatever the top of my name is.
Yeah, sure.
My top half of my name is just happens to be real big.
Yep. Yep.
What about this? Letters wise. Yeah. Go hit me. Hit me with your thing. My thing is not important. It was just mathematics.
A pantomime centaur, right? Yeah. So your top half.
Yeah.
Your top half, man, or your, you know, and then your bottom half, pantomime horse. Now I think that the pantomime horse, right, is probably two men, but maybe the front man has had his upper body chopped off, and that's where your upper body is joined on. But he's not you; he's a different man.
Yeah, I was thinking, what if it's like a pantomime man, and it's two men inside a man.
That's a really good idea. How would you make that work?
You would make one man the
is the man the running up on all fours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, he can try and stand upright, and when he does that, legs of the front man become the man's arms, the pantomime man's arms.
Okay, wait.
Right? So if you think about it, like your pantomime man in his natural state, I think, probably looks like a person running on all fours, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you, and that means that the front person in the pantomime man, the man in the man, he is his legs are the arms of the pantomime man that are being used to run on the ground, right?
Yeah.
Now, if the person in the back of the pantomime man were strong enough, they could maybe grab the front man around the waist and lift him up over their head. And that person could fold their body in half, and then their legs are the arms of the pantomime man when the pantomime man attempts to stand.
I think it would actually be easier if the front of the pantomime man was a child.
Yeah, sure. But because, are we interested in this being easy?
Well, no. But just because the arms are shorter than the legs anyway.
Sure.
And so, and being in that bended position would be harder if you're taller in the front.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think the horrible, how ungainly and weird and unsettling it looks is probably a big part of the appeal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right?
And
oh, I love this. I love this a lot.
I think we should try and make this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We gotta start connecting with our cosplay friends who are good at making costumes.
It is, of course, you know, I mean, I think probably a true pantomime man does need to have two horses inside.
Of course. Of course. No, I agree with that.
You want to be strictly mathematical about it? Like the...
But that might be for a horse pantomime.
Right. Sure.
A pantomime you put on for horses.
Mm.
Which humans are allowed to watch.
Just in the same way that a horse is technically, there's nothing in the rule book that says that a horse can't watch a human pantomime.
That's right. That's right. You can't stop a horse from watching a human pantomime. You can stop a horse from watching the traffic on the peripheral vision, or in its regular vision.
I think all it has is peripheral traffic. Vision, isn't it?
Is that right?
That's all horses have. Because their eyes just point to the side.
No.
Everything's
but, I mean,
peripheral for them.
But if your eye points to the side, then that's your front vision.
Nah, that's your whole periphery. It's all periphery.
Andy, it can't be.
I'm sorry. I'm just telling you.
No, I'm just telling you what it is. I'm sorry you don't like the information.
What about this? A placentor, right? And it's half placenta. Half man.
Yeah, I do like that.
Like that. I thought so. I mean, that's pretty much what a person looks like when they're in a beanbag.
But wait,
and
so...
And I do mean in a beanbag.
Yeah, but like, how do you picture the placentor being? Is your standard a natural placentor in its natural state?
Yeah, obviously.
Is it the upper half or the lower half of the human that's in the placenta, or that is the placenta?
Is it the upper half that is the placenta?
Because it's almost like a human jellyfish.
Yeah, okay.
Because you could imagine a situation in which jellyfish don't live in the sea, but they have legs. And they just run.
You don't think they sort of jump and waft? You know, it might be possible for them to operate. In the air.
Oh, but you're talking about an air one.
Right.
I'm talking about a land one.
Strictly, they sprint. They go top speed everywhere, but they have no eyes.
They have no eyes.
And their tentacles drag behind them on the ground, collecting all sorts of horrible lint.
They pick up bugs and they get snagged on logs and stuff.
Well, bugs, picking up bugs is probably what they love that.
That's what they want. That's why they do it.
But
yeah.
What they don't like is how everybody's treading on them all the time. So they have two human legs and then just a bunch of tentacles.
And cargo pants. I'm picturing cargo pants.
Cargo shorts, will you allow me?
I'll allow you this one indulgence, Andy.
What are those, not shallots, what are those weird shorts that are like a dress, half a skirt, half a pair of shorts? Some would call it a skort, but... It doesn't seem
like it is a skirt if it has pant legs.
Is there such a thing as a cargo skirt?
You know, I've not... maybe in the military? You know? It
cargo
feels like
evening dress?
Queen Elizabeth would have worn while she was repairing vehicles in the... You know, or even Mary Curie while she was driving around her X-ray cars.
Ambulances.
I will look up cargo skirt just to see.
Yeah, because I think if not, it's something we should investigate. Any sort of
I'm getting a lot of cargo skirt stuff.
Really? I mean, of course.
A lot.
Right.
But you know,
what
but
about
it is
cargo
I mean,
skorts then.
cargo skort? Wait, I don't know about. I don't understand how a skirt could work. It couldn't be have no, legs I mean, and be a skirt.
But it's got a little separator in between the legs, basically. It's quite baggy and skirt like.
Yeah.
But then there is a bifurcation going on, and there is a divider. What is the word? Oh, this was so relevant when I was in high school. This is all anyone talked about.
I believe really?
It's a word a bit like shallots.
I guess it's maths, or cravat. Isn't it? It's how to divide the skirt.
Yes.
Does it? I think in order for it to remain a skirt, does it have to have like a little Panama Canal in between the two?
The two halves.
In between the two halves. So that like air or something can pass through and it can remain
still united.
Like ideologically a skirt.
I've just got a text from Carly who has heard us from the other room. She says it's called a culotte. A culotte.
A culotte. Oh, just like a regular, like it's not a regular culottes.
Yeah, that's it. Culottes.
Culottes.
Yeah.
But those are just like, isn't that just the French word for shorts?
Yeah, but we've taken it and we've used it to describe a skort. Look, I'm culotte. Look it up. Culotte. I mean, I'm looking. I don't know why.
Wait,
I'm
somehow I've translated. I've translated it.
I'm talking about.
Anyway, all I know is that I've translated it from English into Chinese, and that's kun ku, chun ku, something like that.
Okay. Well, now that I'm looking at them in pictures, they don't look anything like I imagined. They just look like big shorts.
I mean, I think they're one of those things, you know. It's like you guys were doing sort of theoretical clothes, you know, like theoretical sewing. What's it called? Like, what's it called when you sew make clothes?
Tailoring.
You were theoretical tailorists.
Mm.
Okay, yeah. Wait. Well, I've looked up culottes. Oh wait, no. In English.
I found one or two pairs that meet my definition of something that if you don't look closely, you can't tell that it's shorts. It looks like a skirt. But you know, since I feel like I've been knocked down off my high horse and I've lost interest in this now. I don't remember what the point was.
I guess the culotte, because it's a kind of a loose short, it feels like each leg gets its own skirt. Is that kind of what the idea is?
Yeah. Yeah, that's. I think you're right. It's. Yeah.
You know, each leg, I mean, or I guess for the men, a male culotte, each man, each leg gets its own kilt.
Yeah.
You know? Now, is there a situation in which each leg gets its own pair of pants? It's called a two-lot.
Wow. Each leg gets its own pair of pants.
Yeah. So, like, you know, you get... I guess you can only put your leg... in one of the legs of each pair of pants' legs.
It's harder, yes, and it's harder for me to imagine that than it is for me to sort of go back in the pantomime horse direction and imagine a situation where it's basically now two people have to wear the one skirt. You know, like we're taking the maths in the other way, and instead of saying, well, okay, so you've got pants, that's where each leg gets a skirt, then you have a skirt, and then you would presumably go to having, well, each leg only gets, in a skirt, each leg only gets half a skirt, right? But then you'd want to go to each leg only gets a quarter of a skirt, and that means you have to have two people in the one skirt. And I think this is probably, I don't know, maybe that's communism. Maybe that's what the liberal left wants us to have.
Do they want that though? Do you think?
Well, I mean, if they're trying to get men to wear skirts, right?
But that's us. Is that us, Andy? Are we the liberal left?
Yeah, that's what we want. We want men to wear dresses, right? But once we've got men to wear dresses, we want two men to wear the one dress.
We want perfect diversity in each skirt.
We want
so we want one female person, one male person, one non-binary person, maybe a non a gender fluid person, some person. But then when they become male, somebody else has, you know, when they're feeling more male,
right?
Somebody else has to
get into the skirt or get out of the skirt.
I'm not sure. They just have to keep. They have to come and go and leave the skirt sometimes.
Yeah,
and somebody else has to come in. But that's good because it allows for airflow.
Right. Is this like when termites push the air around a mound? It's a similar thing.
Or is it somehow like doping in a solar panel? You know, what is that? What happens in a solar panel?
Oh, okay. So in a we're really talking about my favorite topic here. Now this is semiconductors, isn't it?
Semiconductors here. That's
right. Just a semiconductor. You can shrink the band gap between the two types of semiconductor material.
I'm already having a good time.
By introducing doping molecules from a different material into the substrate.
Like germanium or something.
Well, I think you might have germanium as your substrate, and then you might dope in like phosphorus atoms or something like that. And that makes it easier for electrons to make it into the conduction band, and therefore for the thing to carry electricity. I believe it's been a while.
Oh man, how do we turn this into communist skirts? It's so hard. Do you think it just means we had Velcro to the skirt? You know, it's not all skirts. Some of it is Velcro. So we're adding, an impurity, which is Velcro. And that makes it easier for gender fluid members of the communist skirt that the liberal left want to leave, and when they're feeling more male or female or neutral.
I tell you what, it doesn't make sense that you have the whole skirt, right, to go around your whole body. Like if men are wearing skirts, it doesn't make sense that you have the whole skirt to go all the way around your body. When, you know, you don't even know if there's going to be a person looking, trying to look at your or being exposed to your buttocks and or your private parts in front of you and behind. Skirt. I think you only need half of a skirt in the front or the back, right? And you can rotate to always be presenting the covered up side to people who are watching. And then if you need to go out into a crowded space, then you just get a buddy and you go butt to butt, right? And shuffling along butt to butt.
Butt to butt.
Two men in a total skirt.
It's always the problem, though, isn't it? It's always the problem when you have to rely on somebody else and they're late or something like that, and then you're going butt to wall.
Yeah.
You have to go to butt to wall. I mean, you're looking at your phone, so who gives a shit? But but what if you just had the skirt but it's a skirt that uses dog cone technology?
Okay, go on.
Yeah, and the thin bit of the cone goes around the front genital, right?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I think we have come up with this. This was the ball gown. It's just a tube.
Hang on. But I'm continuing.
Okay, great.
Right? But then you've got your back genital that you need to also cover. And it has its own. It has its own cone. Right?
Okay. Yeah.
And it has its own cone because you don't want that to be exposed to the elements. But that cone continues and goes around like a croissant and joins up to your front cone.
Mm. Sure. And then this truly is like a Panama Canal, right?
Yeah. They get to share in their kind of genital fog, you know?
Yes. But, you know, the what would it be? Like, you know, those are the shameful areas. And it's right that they should be confined to the same space, the same enclosure.
Yeah. And maybe you could have one, a cone that goes from the nipple, a croissant that goes from the nipple to the other nipple.
To the other nipple. And really, this is the perfect item of clothing, right?
Yeah.
These sort of... shame croissants that enclose only the most crucial,
the worst bits,
and vile, unpleasant of the human body truly, parts.
Let's admit it. They're the pink bits or purple bits.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah? The worst colors. and they tighten. They kind of tighten like a wire zip, like a zip tie.
Yeah. Okay.
You know?
Yep.
And so, because that way they can really get their cling.
Mm. Mm.
You know, they can really hold on to the skin like that.
Yeah,
you
know, I mean, I don't know how this is really working in the butt department.
It's going all the way around the butt.
Oh, really? Right around the whole butt.
The whole butt.
I was
butt.
Thinking just the butthole, but this
you
is the whole butt.
You were just thinking the anus. No, that's a mistake. That's a mistake that you were making.
Yeah, right. Wow. Zip tie around the butt. Yeah. That's very interesting. So it's almost like a fitted sheet, right? Mm. This opening. Or a... or a shower cap.
It's sort of a fold. It's a sort of moldable plastic that you can.
Mm.
It's more like a plastic that has been like an enconed plastic.
An enconed plastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think about having that kind of that croissant cone going from the head of one lover to the head of the other lover?
Mm. Okay. And now is it covering your whole head? Then, and you're
whole
in a
head.
Right, and then so you're in a sort of like a balloon almost.
Yeah, you're also your buried up to your neck in sand. Like this is as a date idea.
Yeah,
and then you don't see each other because the cone goes up and down.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
You might just see the top of each other's head. Maybe if they're wearing like a one of those like. It's probably the hottest thing, but you know, like it's like I don't know what it's called. It's not like an unneat bun, that thing. You know when like somebody puts their hair in a top bun,
yeah.
But it's kind of like it's sort of like it's not tidy, like it's been done in a rush.
Yep. And you think that's
but
the
it's actually
thing.
The hottest of all the hairdos.
I think you might be right. Yeah, it does sound hot.
It's like I have some creative work to attend to.
Yes.
Or I need to manage some animals or something, you know? You know?
Yeah. Oh, man. That's got me going. Just
that's
thinking
got you.
About
yeah.
It. About like, I need this hair out of the way, but I've got a lot of it. But.
I've got a lot because
but I'm sending it to higher
I'm a,
ground.
I'm a human person who. Has needs, and I don't have time to tend to all of the things that grow on me at all times.
Mm. Mm. It's like putting the kids in another room in front of the television.
Nothing hotter.
Yes. Here we go.
I couldn't think of a better thing to bring up in a conversation where we're talking about things that are hot.
Okay, so, yeah, but I love this as a date idea. It's being buried alive together, right?
Yeah, and that's the idea. It's not because a lot of people when they say, "Oh, you've been buried alive," they're saying that, but you're on the verge of being dead, which makes it feel very ironic.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the irony.
It should be saying, but you've been buried almost dead.
Yeah.
Right? And then eventually dead. Mm-hmm. You've been buried eventually dead.
Mm.
Right? Now, this is actually getting buried alive.
I mean, right? You bury someone alive, but they're not alive for long. They probably spend a lot more time dead than they do alive. Right?
Yeah.
So... I mean, mathematically speaking, statistically, they were buried dead.
What about this, right? And this might work very well for this kind of date thing.
Mm.
Just to give it a bit of pizzazz. You know how, like, I don't know if you've ever been snorkeling and you see a crab underwater.
Mm.
And he's looking at you and he's kind of following you. With his body, he or her.
Mm.
And then as you decide, I'm going to get a bit closer to it. I'm gonna invade this crab's personal space.
Mm.
It has these two weird things that are not its claws, these other things that are like weird levers that allow it to like push itself into the sand down very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. Are those just legs? Does it just do that with its legs?
They could be legs, but I thought that there was, I think that this is a vague memory from one or two snorkeling occasions, but I thought it was almost like a 10th and 9th appendage.
Well, they do have 10, don't they?
Oh, do they?
Crabs?
Well, maybe decapods. They do.
Some of them definitely have weird little flippery things at the back. You're right.
Yeah.
But
I think
they use them for swimming. Anyway, yeah, go on.
Imagine something like that that is perfectly designed for moving downward through sand.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, you make a robot that can do that.
Oh, great.
Okay?
But on land.
You get two of them. Yeah. On land. Okay? You get two of them, and you put them in the sand. And then above them, you put an X.
Yeah.
You just draw a little X. And then you and your beloved your maybe potential soon to be beloved put on these cones over their heads. Right? You're zip tying them around your neck.
Yeah, great. Right?
And you're like, "Can you hear me?" "Oh yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?" "Yeah, I go, yeah, I can hear you." Like that. And you supposed to stand on the X's.
Yeah.
And then one of you has a remote and you press a button. And these devices that are these kind of like robotic crabs underneath both of you go, and they start going down. And that makes you both go down into the thing. Right. They bring you down.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly you're up to your shoulders.
Yeah. Yeah. With just your heads in that space together. And that's your whole world now, really, isn't it? Like you, me, and the air that we share.
Yeah.
That's everything.
That's right.
Are you underwater? Yeah. I've been picturing you're underwater.
Well, you hope the tide doesn't come in.
Yeah, okay. I mean, if the zip tie's tight enough, it doesn't matter, I assume.
Well, yeah, as long as if you're capable of breathing carbon dioxide, you're totally fine.
I like a lot of things about this. It sparked all sorts of ideas in me, and I hope I can grab onto some of them. I do like the idea of walking down the street, you and your beloved, hand in hand, sharing a sort of a big air sock that goes head to head. You're both breathing that same air. It feels like the future that we're heading towards, you know, in this post-COVID world.
Yeah.
The idea that, you know, if somebody's going to be in your bubble metaphorically, they might as well be in there literally. And you can...
And it could be tinted like sunglasses or something like that, you know?
And you know what's great about it is it's you are... Probably, as you say, getting a little bit of carbon dioxide as you go. Like, there'd be an increasing level of carbon dioxide. And that would, going for a walk with your beloved is already a pleasant experience. I think that would heighten the thrill. And you could go on an asphyxie walk.
How would you... Oh, an asphyxie walk.
Yeah.
I like the sound of that. I mean, you could do that and have an asphyxie walk by having it also connected from... Let's say you didn't have a date. Maybe when you're walking to the date, you can signal that you're walking to a date to other people by wearing it.
Yeah.
On the way to the date.
Yeah.
And you both wear one, but you wear it attached from your butt to your head. And that says, "I'm potentially taken, but not fully committed yet."
Yeah, great.
So if you want to have a go for it.
Mm. Come at me.
But come at me. But just know that my head could be breathing in farts at the moment.
Now, I was also thinking about the crab thing and the scuttling under the ground. And I would love to perfect that as a technique for myself. I think the idea of, like, if somebody approaches me and I find them threatening, I love the idea of somehow being able to kick my legs and scratch at the ground in such a way and do a bit of a wiggle. And now I'm under the ground, just with my eyes maybe just poking out above the ground.
Yeah, I think
I might need to invent a new kind of ground. You could probably pull it off in a ball pit.
Well, yeah, I think that if you bring your 2 feet together, like palm to palm, foot palm to foot palm, right? But with the toes, you're sort of standing on your toes. but yeah. foot palm to foot palm.
Yeah.
And then you start to go into a splits.
Mm.
You okay. are moving a lot of material out of the way.
Well, maybe.
And you're doing, and you're whilst also doing a lot of the dropping through just removing altitude to yeah. From your body.
I'm not going to argue with that part of it. I absolutely yeah. am doing that.
But I'm saying you got to do a bit of both.
Mm.
I'm not saying that you can just, like, unless you just know how to twist, twist into the sand. Like, imagine if you could do that.
Oh.
Like, you know, like Michael Jackson twists and then grabs his crotch.
Yeah.
But you would just twist and then suddenly your crotch is being grabbed by the earth.
Yeah. I mean, like I mean that's the dream for me. That's what I would love that, to have that yeah. thing. And I love the idea of just my eyes, maybe my nose, just being up above the dirt there.
What about this? You twist.
Blinking.
And then you... And just your genitals are resting on the earth, exposed, and you are there, shirtless. Still looking at the person who was trying to talk to you.
I twist, and my genitals... Do my genitals fall off onto the ground? No. Is that what you're suggesting?
No. I'm suggesting that you twist it with such ferocity, all your clothes come off.
Yeah.
And, like, the fibers can't hold together.
Yeah.
It's that... strength of that twist that allows you to get into the ground, but no human can get into the ground so deep that they get like 6 feet into the ground. They can only get about 2.5 feet. And so you get all the way up to your genitals, and your genitals are like pushed up against the ground. There's a lot of pressure on your scrotum.
Right. And I'm shirtless now.
And you're shirtless, and you're looking up at the person who you were trying to get out of a conversation with. And you're in a much, much worse position. This could be a situation.
I don't know. I feel like I probably have successfully got out of the conversation with this person.
No, you haven't.
Oh no, they still want to talk.
This is one of your aunts that doesn't pick up on social cues.
Oh. Oh, but which one?
Andy, I'm not speaking about a specific aunt.
I'm just thinking, based on that information, there's not enough to narrow it down.
No. No, I'm just speaking about, you know, generally we all have an aunt that doesn't pick up on the social cues, and they are continuing this conversation with you as your scrotum strains.
it's pressed up towards the sky.
You know, and you're out of breath, and you are half immersed. But you're using your aunt because this is the R&D situation of you developing this technique for regular social situations, which actually never comes to be. You actually never work it out.
Wow. I mean, it would be hard to let go now because it feels like I have come a long way towards this eventual goal. It feels so close, but maybe there's just this barrier, you know, like there's the Fermi paradox of where are all the aliens? It's like, where are all the crab men poking their eyes up just from the dirt? Well, it's because there are certain thresholds that we just can't get past.
That's right. One
of them is that you can't get the balls underground. They get caught on the surface of the earth. That's just a fundamental limit of what could be achieved. Yeah.
It's called the mid-human snag.
Yes, this,
and you would think the snag is a reference to the schlong, but it's not. It's actually a reference to the ball bag, and it's a fishing term when you hook onto like a log or something like that. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, you would think that.
That's what I'm constantly thinking. Even though I know that that's not what it is, I'm still thinking snag is a reference to the schlong area. And people will for centuries continue to have to relearn this, because they're like, oh yeah, I remember hearing about the etymology of this term, and realizing that
it'll
it's
got
to do with the ball bag
etymologies.
Yeah, but I thought they meant that the dick gets stuck, but the actual dick doesn't get stuck. It would actually, if you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Yeah, pass the balls. The dick would go in, would follow in suit.
And that's what's so tantalizing about it. There's so many people, they're just like, oh, I just need to get past the balls. But, yeah. And as for women attempting this technique, I presume they just have social skills and are capable of communicating properly.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, they don't need it.
No.
They, yeah. And it actually puts them in a much more vulnerable position.
Does it?
And I think, well, I don't know. I just think that probably being
trapped underground.
Yeah, from the people that I know who are women, there is a lot more care about their personal safety.
Yeah,
and I feel like what's trapping your legs into the earth feels like a backward step, even though they're incapable of doing backward steps at that very time.
I see what you're saying. Alistair, what do you think about this? Crabbing, right? As a trend. Yeah. Crabbing.
So, is this the new the new planking?
I think it might be.
Yeah?
Or, yeah, it's something that kids are doing. Crabbing, right? It's walking everywhere sideways. Of course, the older generations, they'd be horrified to see kids doing this. Because when you're walking everywhere sideways like a crab, you can't see danger in front of you and that sort of thing. So they'd be furious. No, well, no, because you're walking sideways. You're naturally.
You're not looking the way you're.
You're not looking. You're not looking, or not always. Or they're worried that you are.
Do you think they should call it "not always looking" whilst crabbing?
Yeah.
Oh, it's too complicated, isn't it? It's blind crabbing.
It's blind crabbing. I think pure crabbing. I think if you're looking sideways while you're walking, you're not technically crabbing.
Well, you would be being a crab if you were looking out sideways, because that's what crabs do.
Do you think that the pincers, do you think you have to be doing snippy pincers with your hands to be purely crabbing? It feels less cool if you're doing the pincers, but maybe that's part of it.
So you, but do you think, because when you say less cool, are you suggesting that the crabbing where you're just walking sideways is in some way cool?
I think it might be. Like, I think it has or the do potential you think, to be cool.
Yeah. Is it like learning how to do the Dougie?
I don't know about doing the Dougie. Is this from Hey Dougie, the kids' TV show?
No, but it's like, do you know how to Dougie?
No, I don't know how to Dougie. Can you describe how to Dougie to me?
Like, you know, like, teach me how to Dougie. Teach me how to Dougie.
No, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
look, it's a pretty swaggy kind of cool dance.
Right. Sure.
There's a lot of hands looping over each other and then kind of like, I mean, I'm watching somebody do it right now, and I'd never seen it until now, and it's very cool.
Yeah, is it sexy?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's sexy if you find it sexy to see someone who knows how to dance.
Teach me how.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I do usually find that. Teach me how to Dougie. Oh, Dougie spelled like that, right? Okay.
How are you thinking? You're just thinking like Dougie.
I was thinking, Hey Dougie.
Like, Hey Dougie.
Yeah.
So you thought it was like going like, a woof woof.
Well, there is that thing in Hey Dougie where he gets down on all fours when he walks like a dog. And it's quite unsettling the way he kind of like hops and bounces along on his fingertips or whatever.
Yeah, he's kind of like
doesn't look right.
Yeah, like one of those, What was that thing we were talking about? The human earlier?
Yeah, he's like a pantomime human.
Pantomime man.
Mm. Oh, yeah, okay. Teach me how to... So far, from what I can see in this video clip, Dougieing... now I've somehow clicked over to White and Nerdy with Weird Al Yankovic. I feel like I'm getting further away, and this is considerably worse content than we even usually produce. All right, Alistair. So crabbing, is that anything? The trend?
But it feels like it's a thing that most people do already.
What do you mean?
Like, aren't we always sideways? Kind of always, like, just kind of a little bit, like, messing around and being a crab? Like, how often do you think you pretend to be a crab?
I mean, for
a week?
Me, it's a lot, but that's only because I accidentally got into a trend with the kids, like, years ago now, where the only way I could get them to go to bed was if I carried them there like a crab, pretending to pinch people's bums at the beach, and they cling onto my back, and I walk sideways going nip, 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 nip.
Yeah, but you know what, Andy? I also walk like a crab, kind of, you know, for various reasons every week.
Mm. There's always a reason. There's always something that comes up.
And I think that maybe that that's just a standard thing for everyone, is that everyone kind of always has a reason to walk like a crab a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I mean, gosh, I would love to write it down, Andy.
No. I haven't provided you with a single reason, and I'm big enough to admit that, you know.
You know, and I'm not even sure you're big enough to admit it.
Wow. I mean, I felt like I was admitting it, and therefore, by definition, I was big enough.
If you're big enough to admit it, I'd write it down. But my pen is currently resting on the page.
Oh, hang on. I feel like I can't win.
Well, if you could win, I'd write that down.
You know why I brought up the crab thing?
Why is that?
It's because a couple of days ago, I had what felt like a moment of clarity where I was like, this walking sideways like a crab thing, this has the potential to be the funniest thing I've ever thought of.
Yeah.
But I can't remember what it was about the idea that made me think it was so funny. It was like, there was something that had come up in my brain. I was like, this is it. And it was something to do with walking like a crab. And maybe it was something to do with everybody doing it.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it's a more efficient way to travel.
I mean, I guess you take up less space on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the new, like, 15-minute cities, standing room only on the trains. Maybe we've got crabbing room only on the footpath. Well, I mean, if you have a backpack, now you're going to have to wear it on your side. You know, it'll have to be a new thing that sort of goes.
Oh, because that's right. Because the back, it becomes a new back.
That's the new back.
Your side becomes your back.
Orange, you know, is the new black. Side is the new back.
And this is a show all about trying to shift the world towards a crab way of walking.
Look, see, now that's we haven't quite got this to the point where I was like, "This is the new funniest thing I've ever thought of." I still can't recapture what the magic was that I thought I had. And I just thought before that by bringing it up on the podcast, maybe we'd strike upon it again. But I fear that it's lost forever.
No, but like, let's say it's like, you know, like a gig is now standing room only.
Mm.
And then you're like, look, I reckon we can wring a few dollars out of this crowd. You go, all right, now it's crab room only. And everybody is still standing.
Yeah.
But they have to stand side on.
Yeah. I think that's great. I mean, I wonder though, from a, if that's what you're trying to do and get the maximum number of people in the room, I don't think that helps you at all. I think you get more people in the room. You might be able to get more people in the front row,
in front of the stage,
but I don't know that you can in total. I think just rotating the people 90 degrees, I don't think that gets you any more than standing room only.
But it gets every person, I think. You can get more people close to the stage, I think.
I think you can in the front row, but I think after that, probably not. But, you know.
You don't think so? Like, what about, like, the second row?
Yeah.
You think it'd be more in the second row?
Well, you think got to think about the shoulders, right? You still got the shoulders.
I do think about. I am thinking about the shoulders.
I don't think you're thinking about them properly. So you've got to think about. Okay, so if you're standing front on, right, you have no shoulders to occupy space between you and the person in front of you. But if you're side on, then you have one of your shoulders and one of their shoulders. And I think that that's going to cancel out any gains that you get.
I know, but I think that there's also an intensity that comes with knowing that you're now going to have to crab.
You know? Sure.
But you know, that comes with, like, now you're being... Because usually we're used to being treated like cattle.
Mm,
but now we're being treated like seafood. Mm-hmm. You know? And we know that the bounds for how people treat seafood is much worse than how people treat...
So much worse.
...other mammals.
Yes.
You know? And so now we're going to have to get way closer to each other as well, front to back.
Mm.
We're probably going to have to be touching back to chest... And butt to front genital of the previous person.
I know you can't milk a crab. You can't, you know, seafood creatures don't produce milk.
But that's because most creatures don't have, like, a valve for a particular liquid.
Mm.
Like, we only say milk a cow because a cow has a valve... Like, you know, has a tube that you can pull on and a particular liquid comes out. Like, imagine if you could water a cow, but not by hosing it down.
Yeah.
But like it had a water nipple.
Yeah. Okay.
Like they've got four nipples on that teat.
Yeah. It's a lot. And it's crazy that they're all just for milk. There should be different liquids.
Milk, water, orange juice, and... and beer.
When are we going to get that cow?
When are we going to get the bloody fall? Yes.
Like there should be like the pre-mixed drink, post-mixed drink thing at the pub or at the
That's
movies.
Right.
You should be able to get all sorts of different stuff out of there.
Because you could then have, like, you know, your regular kind of fridge and tap system that you have in your house, in the kitchen. Mm. But in your man cave, you just have, like, a four-ended cow like that.
Just have a cow. Yeah, that's great. I mean, it'd be warm, so the beer, I presume, would come out. I mean, I think
there might be a limit
to what we can achieve, yes.
It'd be like England. You just get an ale.
A very frothy one. I think, you know, you've got the boys around and you're excited to try out the new beer cow. It's a shame.
And the water cow and the orange juice cow. Like, you know, you're trying all the bits of the cow.
Mm. Yeah.
There'd be a routine. There'd be a ceremony about it. You'd have a glass of milk first to line your stomach.
Yes.
Then you'd have... a bit of orange juice to get some vitamin C. And then you would have a beer.
Yeah, but like the
And then afterwards you'd have a water to hydrate.
You've got to squeeze it out. You've got to squat down and you've got to milk it out into a pail like an old milkmaid.
It's a pale ale. That's the beer you're getting.
Very good.
P-A-I-L.
This is
I don't know if this is even worth writing down.
No, I mean I'd have a genetically engineered cow with different things. I mean maybe it's even like a bit more like the refill station at a Hungry Jack's or a McDonald's, you know, when you got all the different soft drinks there. You know.
Yeah.
Different thing out of each teat.
Oh yeah, because then you could get like KFC to sponsor a quarter of your cow and put on Pepsi.
Yeah, exactly. How are we going for ideas so far?
You know what, Andy? We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 ideas. And they're all
good.
Really good.
They're so strong. It's nice to be back. Doing them really tired after we had one good podcast where we were awake and felt energized. It's good to be back.
Yeah. But, you know, I think the audience needs a break sometimes between good episodes.
Yeah.
You know, so that they can catch their breath.
A break of, say, 50 or 60 podcasts.
Yeah. Well, Andy, you know what? Today, since we have so many things, we actually have three words from a listener.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, it is quite lordy. And this listener is Ellie Durkin.
Ellie Durkin.
Yeah.
The Dirk.
That's right. What did you say earlier?
I can't remember. I said it was something about like the word Dirk.
The Dirk Knight.
That's it. Right. Defense against the Dirk Arts.
Yeah, Dirk I might have said. Yeah.
The Dirk Knight rises.
Anyway, hi, Ellie. Sorry. Ellie has sent in, let's see, one, two, three words from a listener today.
Really?
So would you like to try to guess what they are?
Okay, the first word is overflow.
Gosh, Andy, you have like three of the letters right.
Wow. If this was Wordle, I'd feel great about that.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, the first word is four.
F-O-U-R?
Yeah.
Okay. Four. Well, I mean, why, there are, it could have been F-O-R, right?
But it wasn't.
It could have been F-O-R-E.
Yeah, but it wasn't that.
Okay, all right, great.
That's why I told you had three. Yeah.
Four. Is the second word listener?
No, Andy. It's not four listener.
Okay.
It's hundredth.
Oh, God. 400th. Is the third word episode?
The third word, Andy, is episode.
400th episode. Woo!
Yes, Ellie was mentioning that her and her partner had been thinking about this fast approaching 400th episode. Maybe we could take this opportunity to say that we now have the actual weekend now that it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to happen on the 7th of October, Australian Eastern Standard Day. We will be beginning at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
We will have had some McDonald's from the from the place on the street on Sydney Road.
We assume.
There will have been an interaction. I'm getting better at McDonald's. I'm less stressed these days. I can handle it.
Well, that's why I'm going to take you to a new place. A place that's open even earlier.
They got their own thing going on.
They got their own language.
Lingo. Okay. And yeah, okay, so a 400th episode. I mean, it feels like, you know, we could do a lot with this in terms of trying to take the opportunity to plan something we would do in the 400th episode. You know, what are we going to... It feels like we haven't really innovated ever since we came up with the cheese goblet. We've sort of stagnated.
No, we did have a thing last time, didn't we?
I can't remember if we actually did the bouquet of salad.
We haven't done the bouquet of salad.
I wanted to have a live band this episode. I wanted to have...
This just sounds insane. It just sounds like to have any more distractions.
Improvised music, thinking music.
Like a jam band.
I asked George Matthews if he would do it, and he said no.
He will not publicly release any music.
Like the whole... What, you want me to just play music the whole time?
Could he just...
For 24 hours?
Write an algorithm.
There you go.
Could he do that? I don't think it's a good idea anyway.
But I think he can't afford to say no, because if he says no, then yes, we will probably use an algorithm, or this job will be taken by an AI.
These jobs we're creating will be taken by AI. These jobs that no human wants.
If you're not willing to do it. AI is
taking our jobs that we don't want.
I mean, making up, that's, AI should have to make up, every time it takes a job from a person, it should have to come up with a new job for them to do. Right? doesn't Here's feel an idea. Fair that they're just taking the jobs.
Okay, so that's part of the it's built into the legislation that says that every time they take a job, they have to invent a new job.
Yeah.
Do they have to figure out in which way it's funded?
Do they have to figure out what?
Like in which way it's funded?
Yeah, I think so. Because
like anybody can go like, oh, I don't know, bottle closer on a cruise ship.
Yeah, I mean, if they've got all this computational power, yes, it has to be a well thought through idea. It has to be a complete package, right? No one has to be worse off, basically.
You know what would be great? Mm. If they actually created a new business and you, like, not only they create a new job, but you are now, like, the owner of this business. Like, you are a sole trader in this field.
Yeah, wow.
And then you're now occupying some gap in some market.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a and the AI has enough information to know that this will be viable. This will be able to sustain you at or above your previous income level. It's all in there.
Yeah. Now, how do we make it really funny?
Oh God.
God, it's so because it's almost too good an idea. Let's see. But then it keeps. Takes a cut, doesn't it?
Probably. I mean,
you know,
that would make it viable, I suppose.
It would make it more worthwhile for the people who create AIs.
Mm.
But then it's this guy. So it's a story about a guy who's had this happen to him.
Yeah.
And then but they take such a big cut. And it just and he's not enjoying doing the job.
Mm.
Even though he probably makes the same amount of work, he doesn't enjoy the new job, right? That's one thing they don't take into account.
Yeah.
And then he's realized he just has to kill the leader of this company. And then everybody, whoever becomes that leader of that company ever again.
Yeah.
And maybe he needs to recruit an AI to help him.
I mean, is it a bit like Terminator in this situation? Have we just created Terminator?
No. None of the ARs are robots. I don't think proper functioning walking around robots that with significant battery life are going to be a problem for a while.
Yeah, sure. That we can't just push over or some shit like that.
Yeah. I mean, also that you couldn't outrun and then it would run out of battery.
I mean, what about like?
I mean, they could shoot you probably, but...
What about a version of Terminator where the robots don't kill anybody, right? But they do just come in and start taking your livelihoods and that sort of thing. And they are so good at doing whatever it is that you used to do. They do it better than you. And so even... That people are unable to say no, right? And so even if, like, it's, you know, it's your own mother, right? And you used to go around and cut the hedge or whatever at her place. And she's now like, I'm sorry, honey, you just got to see how he does it, right? And now they take more and more and more.
Nobody can say
no to them. Nobody can turn them down.
You would have to go there and brush her hair, and it was some of the last good moments in her retirement that you guys had together.
Yeah, yeah. But the robot's doing it better now.
It's doing it so much better.
Mm.
And you're like, oh, well, do you want me to come over and talk? And they go, well, the robot's actually talking really well.
Yeah, and it's genuinely interested.
Yeah, and you go, well, are you well? You go, sorry, what was that? The robot was just saying something.
Bye. Bye, honey.
Do you think that could ever happen? Do you think that a robot could be so good at its job that it would... supersede the mother-son bond?
Yes, I believe it could, because I think I talked about this on the podcast before, but like this idea that ultimately what the algorithm is doing is finding out how our brains work, and what we like, and giving that to us, working out ways to give it to us in better and more efficient ways. Did I already say this about how, like, ultimately the human attention span will just be gamed in a way like the AlphaGo thing was able to play AlphaGo in a way that we'd never thought of? The computers will be able to manipulate our brains in ways that we don't even understand what's happening, but they are, you know, triggering certain emotions and feelings and responses in us in a way that we don't see, never would have occurred to us. It's like using the operating system of the human brain in a completely new way.
Yeah.
Just by having a better understanding of the rules. And that's what it'll be like with interpersonal relations. It'll say and do things for your mum that you never could have thought to do.
Yeah. Or couldn't be bothered.
Yeah, more likely.
Yeah. I think that there's... I think the great kind of like underside to that kind of sci-fi idea is that is getting to show the bit where, like now, like a lot of that is happening now with sort of taking your attention with like YouTube and whatever.
Yeah.
You know, reels and all that kind of stuff, stealing your attention. But what happens as well is that there is the part underneath where you're like, well, I wish I wasn't doing this. And anytime you're not doing it, you're actually having a really nice time. And you're like, this is what life is about. And then you continue to get trapped in it. And so she would be like, she'd be like deep down knowing that she misses you and would love to spend time with you.
Yeah.
But as soon as she gets caught up in the moment, it's like being trapped by your own brain.
Yeah. Like it'll be like the conversational equivalent of scrolling on your phone, right?
Yeah.
But she's like that in a conversation with a robot. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I like that. All right, well, look, I don't think we had our funniest episode, but we definitely had an episode.
Had a couple of moments. And there was something there. All right, I had some other thing was triggered in me about robots, about something to do with the Terminator thing. What was it? Okay, robots taking our jobs. I can't get it back. It's gone. That's a great button on the episode. Me struggling to remember. Failing.
Okay. So here's our ideas. Centaur name.
Yes.
We've got pantomime man.
Mm.
We've got the genital cone. It goes from one genital to another.
Wow.
Like a croissant. We've got the cone head date. From a head to head cone. We've got the R&D process of getting out of social situations by twisting into the sand.
Yeah, this is Andy. This is figuring some good it stuff out, in and this episode. Getting, I feel really
getting stuck
proud
halfway with his testicles pressed up real tight up against the sand.
I think you could see this happen in a ball pit, right? Like in some sort
maybe
of ball
you'll
pit
do the first
situation.
One in the ball pit.
Yeah.
You'll get away. This is what makes you think that you can pull this off.
Mm.
But you're going with like macro particle sizes like that with no friction between each other.
I think that's what the appeal of the ball pit is that it allows us to feel what it would be like to be tiny and to have all the grains and molecules, all the grains of sand and of dirt and all those particles, have them be so much bigger relative to us.
So
and it's
much
like,
bigger.
It's like being a bug, you know.
It's, you know, it'd be the dream of getting to be a bug.
Mm.
Then we have the side is the back. The path to making everyone walk like a crab. So, you know, this is, you know, people realizing that we will save some space if we all walk like crabs.
Mm. The government, this is a great conspiracy for all the 15-minute city nut jobs to be onto. You next, you know, when we're
crabs.
Yeah, if everybody can walk everywhere, there's not going to be enough room on the footpath, is there? It doesn't make any sense. Oh, you know what's next? They'll make us walk like crabs.
Yeah.
I'm not going to walk like no crab.
I'm writing it
down. See, it's so funny.
Like crabs. Yeah, that's
it's pure comedy.
Then we've got a four-drink cow. Milk, water, orange juice, and beer. And then we've got the robot that has something interpersonal relationships with your mom.
Superior interpersonal relationships.
Yeah, superior. Yeah. I may imagine the robot texting you saying, I'm massaging your mom right now. And I guess you wouldn't.
Yeah. It's really rubbing it in to you and her, the oil.
Eddie, this is just a thought that I've had.
Mm.
But like with stuff like AI, blah, 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 that everybody, we're all talking about, people are so fearful. But do you think that there's just potentially an upper limit to intelligence and what anything can have, like anything can do? And so maybe there are some things that they can't achieve.
It's possible. I mean, my instinct is that if there is an upper limit, it's probably a lot smarter than what we are. But this has actually reminded me what the thing is that I wanted to bring up before, which is that robots, we're worried about robots becoming super intelligent and being sentient and wiping us out, right? And my concern is that they wouldn't have to be sentient to wipe us out.
No, right? Of course not.
They could just be super. They would in every way behave and act as though they are sentient, and they aren't. They just have like you can talk to a chatbot and be convinced that it's thinking and responding to you with a consciousness. That, but for them wiping out all of humanity and ruling the planet as overlords. But there is no consciousness there. They're just a machine just doing it.
You know, but there is this thing acting, where I remember...
And then forever, the Earth is populated by robots walking around, acting, talking as though they are conscious.
Yeah, no, I get that. But, you know, I think I remember hearing Daniel Dennett try to talk about this topic and being like, it's actually like, if you look at our processing and their processing, blah, 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 you know, like computer processing and things like that, there's actually nothing different.
Yeah.
And it's like, are we putting this weird, like preference, this weird, like special status on consciousness and really that like something talking to you is just you knowing that something is talking to you and then knowing how to respond.
Mm. Yeah.
And then saying, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the place that my mind goes. And obviously, after that thought about robots, it's like, oh, what if they're not conscious? And what if they are just an algorithm? And then your brain goes, what if that's us?
Yeah, exactly. Well, they say they're not intelligent. I mean, that's a fun thing in a movie. They're not intelligent. It's just an algorithm like that. And then you, throughout the film, just show how we are ourselves just an algorithm pretty much.
Now, see, now that's fucking smart. That would be a real work of art if you did that.
Gosh, Andy, we're going to get there. Okay. I don't know how to write that down, but we'll just go into the song because it's too hard.
Hello. I see a computer could never do that.
Hello. Hello. You see, a robot could never do that, saying hello at the end of the episode.
No, I was talking about the song, but yeah, you're right. Hey, check out Ellie Durkin's art, Pickle Durkin. Instagram.
Check out Pickle Durkin on Instagram. We appeared on the Who Knew It with Matt Stewart episode. Just go and check that out again.
Sure.
And have great lives. Thanks for listening to this show.
And
sometimes we're tired.
love you. Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.